You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Simon Court.
This Waitangi weekend saw politicians gathering at the treaty grounds to pay homage to Aotearoa's founding document. At the event, party leaders and MPs from across Parliament gave speeches around the significance of Te Tiriti for their work. ACT leader David Seymour spoke about colonisation, stating that it wasn't all bad and that there were some positives. Seymour also acknowledged the tensions around the Treaty Principles Bill from last year, which he called a Pyrrhic victory. Also last Thursday saw protesters from the Workers First Union gathering outside the office of Workplace Relations Minister Brooke Van Velden to protest against the Employment Relations Amendment Bill. The union says this bill will take rights away from workers and put them in a place of uncertainty, which is especially worrisome as unemployment reaches its 10-year high. For this week's catch-up with the ACT Party, Simon Court, I asked about each of these issues, beginning by asking about this Waitangi weekend. I wanted to start off talking about Waitangi this past weekend. What were the ACT Party's main takeaways from this Waitangi weekend?
Well, ACT is focused in our policy work and in the messages that we share with New Zealanders around Waitangi, that we are all one people, we have equal rights, and that we must make sure that we protect and uphold those equal rights, you know, either whether it's before the courts, whether it's property rights through, say, the resource management reforms, which ACT is championing, or when it comes to freedom of speech. And I think what we saw at Waitangi again is that while there are many, many people there keen to engage and debate important matters, there is a loud, obnoxious group of people who want to shut that conversation down. And actually, they're rude, because when they're on somebody else's, in somebody else's place, and you know, the Waitangi Treaty Grounds, you are a trust. It is essentially a form of private property. Now, they behave in a really rude and obnoxious way. Kiwis watching that might say, ACT, why do you bother going? David Seymour, why do you bother standing up to give a speech when there's just idiots swearing at you and trying to disrupt? Well, look, we're there for all New Zealanders because we want to make sure that people understand that equal rights and having an opportunity to see New Zealanders as having a shared goal, unity, that's what we're there for.
Yeah, I want to get into some of the stuff that David Seymour said in that speech, because I think it's pretty unfair to represent it without also getting into what people were responding to. Towards the start of his speech, he rejected claims that colonisation was all bad. Given colonisation's staggering negative impact on the environment in Aotearoa, on Māori in Aotearoa, on many other minority groups in Aotearoa who either arrived here afterwards or arrived here beforehand, should we really be defending the process?
We should be celebrating it. You've got to remember that when the Treaty of Waitangi was signed, it's estimated up to 40% of Māori were enslaved. Britain ended slavery, was the first Western country to do so, and it ended slavery in New Zealand with the signing of the Treaty of Waitangi. There's just one example. Now, you know, while it's absolutely correct to say that colonisation, you know, meant that people who were living on land that was sold couldn't live there anymore because somebody else moved in to develop it. That's the same around the world. But you look at all the benefits. You know, we now have the rule of law in New Zealand. We have our property rights protected. You know, no one's enslaved. We hope there's laws against that. And it's clearly been of massive benefit.
So are you saying that we wouldn't enjoy these benefits of laws, of the lack of slavery, if, you know, thousands of Māori didn't have their land stolen or scammed away from them?
That's a zero-sum argument, and that's not the right approach to take. It's quite clear that prior to the Treaty of Waitangi, there were significant land sales of very large areas. In fact, there was one I was reading about over the weekend, when a British settler claimed to have purchased the entire South Island, and he had the signature of six South Island Chiefs, which he took to Sydney and tried to have ratified by the government of New South Wales. He said, we're not ratifying that. That's outrageous. No one would have willingly entered into that contract. And so that's why the Treaty of Waitangi was proposed and then signed, to provide for those property rights, to make sure that sales of land were lawful and legitimate. And look, all New Zealanders have benefited from having their property rights protected.
And speaking on the importance of Te Tiriti, Seymour also spoke about last year's Treaty Principles Bill debacle, calling it a Pyrrhic victory. Could you elaborate on what people should take away from that?
Well, we were disappointed that our coalition partners didn't support the Treaty Principles Bill, but that is the nature of being in a coalition. But what we do know is that New Zealanders, when asked about the principles that we put forward, like equal rights before the law, they attracted broad and widespread support. And ACT's position hasn't changed on this. We believe in equal rights for New Zealanders, and we'll keep making that case constructively and respectively, despite the way that some people might react emotionally to that. And we'll have more to say about what form that takes in the coming months.
Given high protest turnout, given turnout from academics, from activists, from people across Parliament as well, from every party other than the ACT party, against this bill, do you think it has a future in New Zealand politics?
Well, like I said, we will have more to say about what form our approach to making sure that equal rights, you know, through some kind of recognition of those principles, is enshrined in New Zealand law. We'll have more to say about that in the future. But what I will say about all the people who've turned out to oppose it, if you ask them, should New Zealanders be equal before the law? Should their property rights be protected? And, you know, should essentially New Zealanders, you know, notwithstanding specific provisions and treaty settlements, all be treated the same when it comes to seeking natural resources or having decision making or over natural resources? Shouldn't we all be equal? New Zealanders overwhelmingly agree with those statements, which is essentially all the Treaty Principles Bill was. And so, you know, I think what will happen, and David Seymour's made this case a number of times, you know, you look at how many times the End of Life Choice Act, or Voluntary Euthanasia as it was once called, were proposed to Parliament and rejected either through referendum or bills that were voted down. Homosexual law reform, you know, decriminalising homosexuality was first introduced in the New Zealand Parliament in 1974. Eventually it was legalised in 1986, despite much opposition. And no one would say that either of those two changes to public policy and the law have had anything but positive outcomes. So look, watch this space.
I also wanted to talk about the Employment Relations Amendment Bill. We saw a protest over this bill outside the office of Workplace Relations Minister Brooke Van Velden on Thursday. Could you go into, just before we get into the protest, what the Employment Relations Amendment Bill would actually do?
Well, it makes four practical changes. It reduces this grey area around contractor status, so businesses and contractors know where they stand. It tightens up the personal grievance payout, so, you know, when an employee's own behaviour caused the dismissal, it limits those unjustified dismissal claims. And it also limits unjustified dismissal claims for high-income managers. It finally, it removes the 30-day rule so that employers and new staff can agree terms from day one when a person starts their employment.
The protesters, including the Workers First Union, say that this bill will be a grave attack on workers' rights, and especially with unemployment hitting a 10-year high over the past week, are we really in a good place to be, you know, being concerned over workers' rights and reducing the protections that our workers can see?
Well, let's flip that around. If it's hard to employ people, or it's hard to get rid of people if they turn out to be wholly unsuitable or actually damaging your business, then, you know, what we want to do is make the employment conditions far more flexible. That's how we're going to get more people, who many of whom are at the margins, into employment, which means that their lives are just immeasurably better as a result of having that routine, having a regular income, having that social contact, all of those great benefits we get from employment. That's what the legislation is intended to do, provide more flexibility. But I'll just give you one example. At the moment, When a contract that a contractor signs says they're a contractor, it can still be challenged years later, and that creates real uncertainty and cost. And what this bill means is that clear, agreed contracting arrangements are going to be upheld. Now, if you want to protest against contracts and the rule of law, fill your boots, but I can guarantee that employers will be much more likely to employ people if they're confident that the employment agreement is lawful and will be upheld.
That's sort of the part I want to contest, that part about contractors being able to contest that later on. The main criticism of this bill that we're seeing is that employers can treat people like employees. They can take the hours from them that employees would do, and because they're hired as contractors, they'd be denied, you know, minimum wage, sick and annual leave, public holidays. You talk about how this will guarantee people security in income. Would this not do the opposite for many people out there, forcing them into roles as contractors rather than full-time employees?
Well, the whole purpose of contracting is so that the person offering to work can choose which conditions that they're prepared to accept. They're not prepared to accept the conditions of the contract, and I know lots of people who contract, whether they do fixed-term full-time, whether they do part-time, long-term contracting, or whether they offer their hours on an availability basis. They do that knowing that they have to pay their own tax, that they have to pay their own ACC levies, and that if they want to contribute to KiwiSaver or a private pension scheme, they have to do that out of what they earn. But that is a free contracting environment, and what it means is that if you have a number of different businesses you might want to offer your contracting services to, you're not limited to only signing up with one and having all of those obligations and impositions on you. You know, you're free to work. That's what contracting is all about. It's glorious. I would encourage your listeners to the show to consider that as a way of working.
You're implying, though, that these contractors have a choice of work, that there's lots of availabilities, and let's say if they don't like one situation, they can just not go for that job and go for something else. But given unemployment is, again, at a 10-year high, do they really have this, you know, availability of opportunities?
Well, let's be clear. There are parts of the economy where there is higher number of people seeking work. And, you know, you look at Auckland, for example, where I live. Yeah, there has been a downturn in the housing and construction businesses. Retail has been quiet. Hospitality's been quiet as we've gone through the recession, the higher interest rates. We're coming out the other side, but that's clear. You look at Canterbury, they've got a 2.3% unemployment rate. That means basically, apart from a few people who have changed jobs and haven't found the next one yet, they've got full employment down there. So there's never been a better time to offer your services in the private sector, or in the public sector for that matter, because lots of councils and government, seek contractors for short-term or specific roles. There's never been a better time to polish your CV and think about how you can maximise your intellectual property, your skills, and turn them into a really good contracting rate.
That was the ACT Party's Simon Court speaking to me about Te Tiriti o Waitangi and the Employment Relations Amendment Bill.
That was Simon Court from the ACT Party.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.